In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please be seated. I bid you all a very warm welcome as we are here together today to remember and celebrate the life of Franz Stanky. It's interesting when we talk about celebrating a life in times of death and grief, because it's at these times, even when we look at someone like Fran, who lived a good, long life, loved his family and friends, we still have many emotions, a mix of emotions. We think about things like sadness, shock, guilt, confusion. And it's at times like these that we look for comfort. And when we look for comfort, we turn to Scripture. We heard today the reading from the book of Revelation. In it, Jesus says, God himself will be there with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. The Bible assures us of many things. It assures us of new life beyond death. Not just getting our life back, but new life. Something different, an assurance of hope. And the Bible assures us and comforts those of us who are in sadness. We also heard a reading today from the Gospel of John, and I would imagine that many of you who've been to a funeral have probably never heard this reading from John at a funeral. I really love this reading. It was a special request by the family. It's a reading that we often call Doubting Thomas. And it's so appropriate for today. It's so appropriate for so many reasons. First of all, because today, this is, at any funeral, it is a celebration of the resurrection. Here we have the Paschal candle, a symbol of the resurrection. We bring it out at Easter and at funerals. And this reading is usually a gospel reading for Easter, and so it is quite appropriate. In this reading, we heard the story of Jesus appearing right after the resurrection to his disciples. After his conquest of death, he shows up to them in a locked room and he says, "Peace be with you." And of course, they're all rejoicing, but then one guy just happens to be out, Thomas. And you know, poor Thomas, he gets saddled with this label, Doubting Thomas, because he wasn't around. He didn't have the benefit of seeing Jesus. So later on, Thomas shows up. He's around them, and Jesus shows up again. And he says something when he sees Jesus that we never hear from any of the other disciples. After Thomas sees the wounds of Christ after the resurrection, it is Thomas who says to them, "My Lord and my God." It is Doubting Thomas who expresses his faith more than any of the other disciples. And so here we are remembering a life and celebrating a life. And yet, we all have our doubts. And I think that's okay. You know, sometimes a good dose of skepticism is a healthy thing. It's probably something I think that Fran may have taught all of us. But doubt does not mean that you lack faith. Questions are not a sign of being a bad person or being a bad Christian. In fact, curiosity and inquisitiveness and a search for truth are good things. because they open our hearts to seek a deeper picture. You know, here we are talking about death, and yet not a single one of us has ever seen heaven. At least I'm pretty sure none of us have. And none of us have actually physically seen Christ. You know what? We are all like Thomas. And like Thomas, because we have not seen, we have not had the advantage of the disciples, we too may also question these things. We can have our doubts. We're all a little bit jaded because life has dealt us all a little bit of hard blows from time to time, and it's painful. Life has given us pain, and that pain saddles us with doubts. And yet, despite all the doubts, despite all the questions, the skepticisms, even so, we hear these readings from the Bible. We hear there will be no more tears, that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we are comforted. And Jesus says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." I'll tell you something about Fran. He gave me a true gift. I met with him 2 weeks ago, and he and I were able to talk a little bit, and it was kind of nice because we were able to have a good stiff drink together. And we were able to talk about a few things, and I really enjoyed it. He knew the end was coming, and he was able to express to me a few of his own doubts. A few of doubts I think we all have. You know, we all say, you know, I haven't always done the right thing. I sure tried, but maybe I haven't always done the right thing. And yet at the same time, the real gift Fran gave to me was he was able to say at the same time, you know, I'm ready. Boy, that's such a gift. To be able to say, you know, I don't know what's coming, but I'm ready anyway. That, my friends, is a true example of faith. And that is where I start to hear those words of Jesus over and over in my head. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. We don't know all the answers. We don't know what lies ahead. We have not seen Jesus or heaven, and we can all have doubts. But you know, we have to recognize the struggles and the questions, and at the same time, just have peace. And we have to trust that while we may still have our doubts, we may not know what's going on, we can still trust that God cares for us. That God is looking out for us and God will do what is best for us. And that, my sisters and brothers, that is faith. We are all doubting Thomases. The pains of life make us question, but it does not mean that we lack faith. In this time of sadness, we can look at our pain and grief, and we can use this time to seek a deeper knowledge and understanding of God. It is at this time that we too can say, "My Lord and my God." And we can be comforted in our times of sorrow. So blessed are you. Blessed are you who have not seen and yet come to believe. Amen.